What if I told you there was a way to solve your biggest practice challenges and connect with a thriving community all in one place? Well, the wait is over. The Best Practices Association app is here. Now available on the Apple Store and Google Play Store, this app is a way to get solutions in the palm of your hands. And the best part? It's 100% free to join. So don't wait. Download the Best Practices Association app now and start transforming the way you practice dentistry. Yo, yo, yo. Hey guys, welcome back to another awesome edition of the Best Practices Show podcast. Have you heard this term called airway? Well, I have, and it's not going away. Today, I have two amazing rock stars, Dr. Liz Turner and Dr. Maggie Graham, and they're doing something very cool in dentistry that you have to check out. And they came on the podcast today to describe what airway health really means. So please listen up. Hope you guys enjoy this, and we'll see you soon. Hey guys, welcome back to the Best Practices Show podcast. I have the coolest job ever. You know why? Because I get to interview some of the greatest rock stars, influencers, thinkers in all of dentistry in hopes of sharing some great information so you guys can all create a better practice and a better life. And I have two amazing rock stars on today that are kind of creating their own path in dentistry. And you're going to learn more about it here in a second. But I thought I would introduce them. So Liz, Maggie, thanks for being back. I appreciate you guys. Thanks for being on the podcast.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. So let's do this. We have so many young listeners, people that are in dental school. We actually have pre-dental students now too. So I don't know how that works, but this is pretty cool. I would love for our listeners to know who you guys are. And Liz, I'll ask you to go first. Like, tell us your story a little bit and who you are.
Sure. My name's Liz Turner. I am a general restorative dentist. I went to Tufts Dental School. I'm from the Northeast, so I'm from Maine, and I grew up knowing I wanted to be in medicine, had some dental trauma, broke some teeth, went to tooth mechanic school, and kind of thought for the first few years I was in the wrong field. And then I started to discover airway-focused dentistry just through my own family's health journey, and really haven't looked back for the remaining eight years I've been doing this. And it's amazing how you can change your career path just based on personal experience. And it's fun to continue to evolve and help our patients. So Maggie and I, we have kind of co-formed Untethered Airway Health Center, and I'll let her step in now.
Hi, my story and Liz's story are so parallel. I also am trained as a general restorative dentist. I graduated from Marquette Dental School. I'm from the Midwest. And once something becomes personal, it's hard not to be passionate. And as I was introduced to this concept that breathing matters, breathing is influential over not only our systemic health, but also influencing our dentistry that we're doing as dentists, but also as patients, I was super intrigued. And when we first started hearing about it, I really thought it was like a specialty or this niche, which we've kind of created in our Untethered practice. But we're on a mission to really try to inform all the dentists that whether or not you acknowledge that breathing is part of dentistry, it is. And so we really want to help all of the dentists understand, like we've learned, that dysfunctional breathing or great breathing is going to influence where we work and how our patients, you know, how they do.
Yeah, I love this. And this is such an important journey. You know, in any journey that you guys are so passionate about, there's usually like this moment. So if you wouldn't mind, share with us, like, how'd you get started in this? And was there a turning point that made you say, I got to lean into this more? And Maggie, you go first on this one.
Thanks. So for me, I came out of dental school, and to be perfectly honest, I thought I made a huge mistake. I was very unfulfilled. I remember these moments very clearly of like, oh my God, I'm so in debt. I'm doing something that I thought I would love and I don't like it. And what was really frustrating to me was I couldn't get to the bottom of why things continued to break. And so I really leaned into continuing education, thinking that I had control over success. And to a point, we do, right? We have to use the best materials, we have to do the best techniques. And so I really dove into being the best I could be technically. And it still wasn't enough. In dental school, I remember learning, or at least I took away from dental school, that home care and diet were the only things that really influenced a patient's risk. And while no one will argue that home care and diet are very important in influencing a patient's risk, I had patients that had the healthiest diet, were coming in every 3 to 6 months. They had impeccable home care, and yet they continued to have these dental fires. And so that just kind of made me scratch my head and was adding to this unfulfillment that I was experiencing. And so I just doubled down on my learning. I'm like, I'm stuck in this career. I can't go anywhere. I'm going to learn more. And I remember listening. I was at a Spear Symposium. It was probably 2016, 2017. I don't remember, but Jeff Rouse was speaking. And all of a sudden, he shared his story about his son, Jake. And anyone that's listened to him talk, he always encourages us to find our Jake and make it personal. But all of a sudden, he was talking about breathing in a way that was impacting his son's not only health, but how he tied it into dentistry. And it was like the skies opened up, all the light bulbs went off. And I was like, oh, that makes a lot of sense, because I was really getting fixated and stuck on occlusion. And of course, occlusion and the bite is super important, but there was still this missing piece. And I just felt like the airway component kind of came in and glued it all together. And that was my aha moment.
That's so cool. Liz, what was your aha moment?
Yeah, and mine was similar. It was, I'm an athlete, at least I am retired from it, but I've always loved the way the body works. And I've always been fascinated with the whole system. And so when I went into dental school, I was like, I'm going to help people. And I'd had my own things, right? So I empathized with patients. But the same type of thing, I was like, why am I just fixing one problem only to fix another one when something else fails? And Meg, you don't give yourself enough credit. Like when she says unfulfilled with the restorative, like she is an incredible restorative dentist. So it's not like, oh, just elevate your skills, just like learn veneers. Like she does such incredible dentistry. To be unfulfilled with the artistry that she was putting behind cases is it's hard to hear, right? Because you think like, oh, you just want to be the best. And like you were the best. And so my aha moment, my son was born and was born with what I now know are oral restrictions. And I was told in the hospital that it wasn't a big deal. We'll see if it impacts his speech. And I didn't really know anything about babies, but I was like, this one seems like a little rotten. Like, why is he so cranky all the time? I was like, aren't they supposed to be like cute, like 90% of the time, and then cry the other 10%? But there's no manual for parenthood, and there's no manual for breastfeeding. There's no manual for your child. And so going off my own intuition, I was like, something just feels off. And I messaged a friend of mine who'd posted some things about a laser and some tongue tie stuff. And we didn't learn any of this in dental school. And I started to put the pieces together on why he was uncomfortable. And shortly after he was treated, my father-in-law had a pretty significant cardiac event that put him in a medically induced coma. And I started to look at the sleep apnea component. And then I started to think about my husband, who at 6'2 and slender, whenever he complains about his sleep issues, for which he wakes up at 2, 3 in the morning and lays there for hours, he's offered trazodone. No one ever ran a sleep test on him, and turns out he's got severe sleep apnea. So I need to kind of go along with the journey in growth from infancy through adulthood into age is can be impacted by the way we grow in the development of our jaws. And when I look at the development of my husband's jaw and his father's jaw, like you got some stuff going on in the breathing department. Your nose isn't working, your airway's collapsible, and your body overall is suffering because it can no longer combat the disease. So once I saw that stuff, and then I started to look at why we were seeing dental issues in a patient, why we were seeing failures in a patient, not of our dentistry, but of their teeth and their bone and their periodontium. I couldn't look away, because this is like, kind of like the common phrase is once you see it, you can't unsee it. And that's really how it spiraled for me. And once the rabbit hole opened, it's just never closed. And there's so much to learn. And I said this, I was teaching at Spear for airway prosthodontics and this past weekend, and people are like, well, what course should I take for this? And what course should I take for this? And I said, take them all. And I know that's hard to hear because you just want a playbook, but you can learn something from everybody's mind and the way that they put the message out, and then you make it your own. So that's the biggest thing is like continually learning as we continue to unveil new avenues for health is really a fun, it brings this new light to dentistry that I had never really experienced in the first 8 years of my career.
Yeah, it's so cool. And I,
Can I piggyback on that?
please.
I just want to say, like, I didn't do the hand thing, but Liz makes a good point. We're so excited now. We get to teach, right? It's here. We have our own course. We get to tell people about our journeys. But I'm constantly learning. I find myself like nodding along to Liz, listening to her speak on our podcast, or listen to her present, and I'm like, oh yeah, like I'm still learning all the time. And I think that that is a really good point, Liz, of like take all of it. Like you can glean information from everybody's journey because everyone's going to have a different spin on it.
Yeah, and we'll get to our course in a minute, but our course is called Foundations. And it's like, it's foundations of the way that we see it. It's not foundations like, oh, I've never heard anything about airway. Should I take this? Like everybody's course is foundations on their thought process and the science behind it all. And so I think that's, it can almost be a misnomer for the name of the course, but it's foundations of our brains and our interpretation of the science. So.
I love it. I love it. Now, you guys use the term airway health. I think this is one of the biggest disruptions we've ever seen in dentistry. Almost 40 years of treatment planning has been turned on its head. Now, you have to include this on the conversation. You also came up with the name untethered airway. There's still a little bit of controversy around, or a little bit unclearness. So if you would, I want you guys to share, what does airway health really mean to you and anybody listening? Who wants to go first on this one?
Let's go ahead.
So airway health to us is from a structural perspective. Health is so multifactorial. Never are we going to argue if we do this one thing, will it solve all of your issues for a lifetime? But the structural foundation of our jaws and the position that they're in is extremely important because if our jaws are set back in our head or they're too narrow, we have pathologic air. Like our air is not great anymore. Our filtration system, the way that we need to oxygenate, is more important than it's ever been because of the environments that we're in, the homes that we live in, the things that we're fighting. Even COVID showed us that. And nitric oxide, which comes from our paranasal sinuses, was shown to kill the COVID virus. It's not a treatment for COVID, but it's one more thing that we can do to optimize and kind of biohack our health. So for us, airway health in a dental setting, it has to do with the structure and the foundation of the bones, of the teeth, of the jaw position, so that we can make sure that we're enabling somebody to breathe as passively as possible while alert and at rest. Because the trickle-down effects of narrow jaws are seen in the literature for impacting high-risk factors for tonsil and adenoid enlargement, high-risk factors for deviated septum, high-risk factors for OSA and sleep-disordered breathing. And these have all been independently proven. The argument that we're always going to get is, where's the research? Well, it's multifactorial. You can't take a 7-year-old and withhold beneficial treatment from him since infancy and be like, let's just see what happens if we leave you tongue-tied to the tip. Anecdotally, we'll see children that are tongue-tied to the tip and how that impacts them, but we can't put someone in a bubble and isolate for a growth factor over the period of years. We can follow cases, and that's what a lot of the great studies that have been done on showing how tonsil and adenoid removal coupled with maxillary expansion reduces the chance that there's sleep-disordered breathing at the 12-year follow-up. So there's certain things that we can start to lay down foundationally when it comes to growth and then the impact on health. So airway health to us is always going to be structural.
Maggie, add your thoughts.
I would say, I mean, gosh, she spoke it way more eloquently than I could have put words to. The only other thing I would say is like in the dental chair, right, as dentists, one of the things that we have a great opportunity to, once we understand the impact of our structure, right? My friend and mentor, Kevin Boyd, calls this the craniofacial respiratory complex. And like, that's a big phrase to unpack. Craniofacial respiratory complex. And because the body is learned in compartments and annexed to specialists, it doesn't get learned as a whole. And this area, the mouth, has been just kind of separated from medicine. And we have done our patients a huge disservice to not understand the impact of where we work. So as dentists, I think it's our responsibility not necessarily to offer a whole bunch of treatment modalities. ideally, we can change structure and we can offer treatments that can help people breathe better. But if we can just help identify, hey, you're breathing dysfunctionally. You know, at the beginning of this journey for me nearly 10 years ago, I didn't know I was a mouth breather. I didn't know that that was a problem. I think even just starting with that simplicity of, do me a favor, I'm going to see you in 6 months. Nothing catastrophic is likely going to happen in 6 months. Pay attention. Pay attention to how you're breathing. When you just check in during the day, where is your tongue? Are your lips parted? Just start to create an awareness in your patients. And oftentimes they'll come back and they'll say, you know what? Ever since you've been here, I noticed I breathe through my mouth, or I do wake up with my mouth open, or I do have poor sleep. And so I think that creating an awareness in our patients, because we see them so frequently, more than they see their primary care physicians, is a great opportunity and honestly a responsibility for us to start bringing that into the conversation. Even if we're not diagnosing sleep apnea, even if we're not offering a menu of service options, giving the patient the opportunity to understand that something is happening in their body that might be pathologic.
Yeah, I
just
love,
like we do with blood pressure. It's not any different. We screen people for blood pressure every 6 months and we alert them to a number that's high. We're not diagnosing hypertension, but we're using that information to make a referral to where they need to go. So for people that don't necessarily want to offer that menu of services, that's okay. It's if you've got an 80-year-old who has suspected sleep apnea and he doesn't know it, I mean, you could prolong a life by just making a referral. And then you've got a happier, healthier patient who's going to keep referring to you. You've got dentistry that's going to be more stable because they're not going to Brooks into it quite as much. So there's a whole lot of different things that you can do for your own practice that doesn't have to rock the boat all that much.
Yeah,
but I like the word structuralist, right? Like, and because everyone's looking for a magic bullet, I was looking for a magic bullet to offer patients. It doesn't exist. It's so multifactorial. If we can create optimal structure, if we can help them get to the right people to optimize function, they're healthier regardless. And that might be not be the only piece to their puzzle, but it's a huge piece to the puzzle. And at least we've taken care of that. We're not trying to create problems that don't exist, but hey, can we optimize something in your health makeup?
I love it. I love it. You guys are speaking firsthand. Like, I am actually a patient troubled with all this. I'll never forget Jeff Rouse at a Seattle Study Club symposium. This probably had to be 10 years ago. He goes, come here. I want you to put this tape over your mouth. I'm like, what? He's like, I want you to sleep tonight. And it was at a symposium. Like, we were having a drink. I'm like, I brought it back and I showed my wife and she's like, you're going to die if you put that over your mouth. It was life changing. You know what I mean? So sometimes it just takes somebody to invest in you, make you think a little bit different. And it all works. It's crazy. I want to
think about it. Yeah. If that helped you, like, that's a win, right?
Oh my gosh.
It doesn't have to be extensive. It's fun. When mentoring this weekend, we were with a number of us and all of us have had pretty significant structural changes. Like Jeff's gone through SFOT. Two of the others had gone through orthognathic surgery with Mike Gunson. I've had a MARPI. And then one of them who has beautiful, perfect facial structure, she goes, I lip tape. And we're like, you stop it. Not all of us can be as perfect as you, but we're happy that you like it. So, yeah.
So cool. Now I want to ask you guys, because this is a big conversation, you get a chance to see a lot of the education and give the education yourself. What are some of the common mistakes that dentists make when they're looking at airway issues?
I can say that I've made all of them. In fact, I have an entire lecture that is just about what not to do. And it's because when I got into it, I didn't really have a path forward. And so that's kind of the reason that Liz and I created our foundations, is we wanted to make it easier for other people, because once you hear Jeff, he's very compelling. Yeah. And I am a doer. And so I came back and I was going to fix all of you, gosh darn it, whether or not you wanted to be fixed, whether or not you knew that you had a problem. And I went all in. And a few months after being exposed to his seminar, I remember my accountant calling me and said, are you okay? Is everything okay? And I said, well, yeah, what's up? He's like, what's going on with your numbers? Like, I had stopped doing dentistry. I was paralyzed because I didn't know what to do. I was so afraid of making people worse or not getting them to perfection that I had stopped doing dentistry. And all I was doing was talking. And I was talking to people that weren't necessarily open to listening. I lost some unbelievably loyal patients. You know, just they didn't want to hear it. I lost team members that were like, what is she talking about? And so I think that as you go down your own journey, you're probably in it right now, gleaning the information and recognizing that it doesn't have to be acted on immediately. We'd love to help you implement it, but to go all in on this when somebody's not asking to hear it can be problematic. And that's the same with any dentistry, right? You can't offer a full mouth rehab to somebody that doesn't want to hear that. So I think that's one of my biggest mistakes that I made that I would love to share with new dentists or dentists that are on this journey for the first time is take it in and, just sit with it for a second. Don't jump in and try to make changes rapid fire. Didn't work for me.
Yeah, Liz, what mistakes do you see?
Same thing. If you don't have to go in and rock the boat, and you don't have to make this seem salesy in any way. It's more about just planting those seeds so that you can help nurture patients to where they want to go. You'd be surprised how when you open the door, so many say, "Well, yeah, I've been worried about this, and I've asked questions, and nobody's given me an answer." So I think that's number one. I think the other thing is the mistake we can make is not looking at it, because we can go all in all of the other aspects in dentistry. But if you've got night guard after night guard that fit perfect, and then you've got three that the patient hates and they're mad and they leave you a one-star review, that's the type of thing where if you just look a little closer and you set you up for success by saying, "You may not be able to tolerate this because I can see your arch is a little constricted. There's already not enough room for your tongue." Instead of it being a failure, it's an, "I already informed you of that. This is not a failure. It's a good indicator that you need something different." So that's where we as dentists can not make mistakes in the treatment we're rendering on the dental side if we just look a little deeper. You don't necessarily have to treat it, but it just mitigates your risk a bit more.
Yeah. Maggie, I want you to go back to this. I'm going to give you guys the $1 million question that we get, and we don't have an answer for this one. Is like, okay, I get it. This is important, but I have a general practice. Like, how integration, like, how do I integrate this? And then, everybody talks like, how could you create a practice model? How do you make, because the truth of a dental practice is you do have to create revenue, it's got to be profitable. So let me just ask the two of you.
So I think that there's multiple answers to this question. I think simplifying it to understanding that we have the potential to be airway negative, airway positive, or airway neutral, recognizing that we have that ability in our daily treatment plans is important. So just that recognition is the first step. I think breaking it down stepwise. Second, what do you like to do? Like, what do you enjoy? Because if you have no interest in learning how to do functional frenuloplasties, which is the phrase that we use for doing blunt dissection technique to do a tongue tie release, you have no interest in learning how to do orthodontics or maxillary expansion. You don't have to. You don't have to bring in new treatment if you don't want to. If you do, great. There's tons of support and courses out there. But I think recognizing what you do like and then starting to ask your community and your team members, your interdisciplinary team members, how you can work together is so powerful. And that's been a huge part of my enjoyment in the career and the success of patient cases is starting to really collaborate with my team and my community and knowing how and when to refer. Because even if you're an airway aware dentist that doesn't want to implement any new treatment modality, you can be the quarterback. You can be the one that says, "Hey, these are the issues. Here's the diagnosis. This is where we're going." And you can still offer this amazing service by just aligning the specialists and giving your patient a roadmap. And then, honestly, a lot of these patients do require a lot of restorative work. And if they follow through with your suggestions and going through this path of, maybe making their structure better, when they come back to you, when you get to do the dentistry on the other side, that dentistry is so much more rewarding. It's so much less risky, it's more likely to succeed. And so that's really great for you, the restorative dentist, because it takes a huge stress off.
Yeah.
So I think that those are the big ones is understanding how you play a part in the story, figuring out what you want your role to be, and then either going on for further training or starting to quarterback and cultivate your team.
Yeah, I love the term you use, airway aware dentist. It's good, maybe a good place to start. So, Liz,
Yeah. I can't take credit for that phrase, but man, does it help. I know that our dear friend Melissa has started multiple airway aware study clubs, and I think Jeff was the first one to say it, but it is. It's a really powerful starting point, just being aware of it.
Yeah, I love it. Liz, give us some thoughts on, how to integrate it.
Everybody listening to this podcast is higher level, right? You're not listening to it because you could be doing something else. You could be listening to some other podcast, but here you are listening to a dental podcast. we're all kind of self-proclaimed nerds in our space because we're so
That's so
passionate
cool.
about what we do, some more passionate than others. Those that are followers of yours are higher level thinkers because they're so interested in what can they do to make their practice the best practice, right? Technology is huge, and utilizing the technology you have in front of you, a scanner, a CBCT. So digital information now is so incredible and so useful. So we have an iTero. We also have a CEREC system, so we can do same day restorative, and we have a CBCT. You don't need all those things, but many people are curious about intraoral scanners. Maybe you've got a Medit, maybe you've got a Trios. Scan a mouth and use it as a wellness scan and look at what's going on there. Look for abfractions, look for teeth tipped in, look for teeth that are crowded. You can use that as a door opener for a patient. Are you concerned about this crowding? And if they're like, yeah, in 6 months I will be, put it in their note to start asking more questions next time. Maybe next time you say, are you concerned about this crowding? And you noted on your medical history, because I added a new question, that you snore. Do you want to talk about that? Are you worried about that? And if they're like, yeah, I'll be ready for that in 6 months too, you say, okay, now in 6 months, I know they're ready to talk about crowding and snoring. And now maybe it's a good idea to make that referral to somebody who can provide them with some form of orthodontics to help with their structure. And then you get to fix the dentistry. So slow roll it. Don't rush into everything, but utilize the tools you have in front of them to help them visualize their problem. Because you don't want to, this is a John Coyce thing that I love, but you don't want to give them a solution to the problem they don't have. Because
Right.
like Maggie said, like if they're not interested, don't bring it up. Just plant a seed, pay attention to this. Do you sleep in the same bed as your wife? Like that's a big one that people will say, like, I'm not worried about it, but my wife is. And those are ways to integrate, not rock the boat.
Yeah, I absolutely love it. One of my favorite things is talking about the future. I love project. Now, it's anyone's guess. Like everyone's guessing about the future, but I love talking about it. And especially when you have experts like the two of you on there. I want to fast forward. Let's fast forward 5 years from now. What do you think this is going to look like? Where do you see airway-focused dentistry heading in the next 5 to 10 years?
Can I jump in?
You go.
One of my hopes is that we start paying more attention to children because in traditional orthodontics, even the American Academy of Orthodontics recommends that they have an orthodontic screening by the age of seven. At the age of seven, not necessarily by, they should by, but it's at. Most kiddos still aren't seeing an orthodontist till they're 10, 11, 12 years old. Most jaw growth is complete by the age of six. We're missing a significant window for growth by not systematically assessing for functional underdevelopment of the jaw. The development of the jaws come from the function of the muscle and pressure outward. And if that musculature isn't working well because of poor feeding as a child, an infant, poor solids, poor speech development, we're also going to see genetic underdevelopment of the jaws. So it's multifactorial, nature and nurture. If we pay more attention to children when they're 4, 5, and 6 years old, we can improve upon the canvases that we have to work on in adult-related dentistry. Because with adults, change is harder. Change is, we have a canvas in front of it, and we have to work with what we've got unless somebody's ready to take a step that's more expensive and more involved. And a lot of people are, but not everybody. If we can just work on foundational stability earlier by just looking closer, we're going to have a better population of faces for us to do dentistry on down the line.
Maggie, your thoughts, next 5 to 10 years.
I agree, per usual. And I really think that my hope, and maybe 5 years is aggressive, but I really hope that this level of education, as the science emerges and people stop using the same line, there's no research, because there is. And we're starting to connect a lot of dots that we only saw anecdotally. Now we're seeing huge improvement in the research behind a lot of this. Is I really hope that it gets to the academic level, because you, again, have cultivated a following of dentists that are higher thinkers, want to learn more. But that's not everybody. So many people out there learn what they learn in their residency program or their grad school program, and then that's kind of it. They might get the bare bones CE requirements either out of disinterest or just busyness in life. And so it's really hard to shift how you started practicing. in a monumental way. And so if this kind of education can get to the pediatric residency programs, to the general dental programs, we're going to start to see a shift in how people practice, because if it's only available at the higher continuing education level, it's not going to get to the patients. You know, I've spent a lot of time trying to educate my colleagues, my medical colleagues, ENTs, pediatricians, other dentists. And while I will continue to do that until I can no longer do that, I think it's really important. I spend a lot of time educating families because they are so savvy and they're looking for help. And once it's personal, you're not going to stop being an advocate for your child or yourself. And so helping them understand what questions to ask and look for is really powerful, but there are not enough providers for how many patients out there. We are truly living in an epidemic of dysfunctional breathing. And so for us to shift it to having more access to care by having more providers understand this is going to be huge. And so is it going to be 5 years? Gosh, I hope so.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, that was my next thought. Like, what do you say when people go, oh, this is just a fad? Who wants to go on that?
So, I mean, this isn't new.
Right.
Like, if the tongue tie space, for example, there's so much controversy about it. But if we think about it, we have such incredible medical ability to bring children into this world and help them feed and help them live. We're not necessarily helping them thrive. We're helping them survive. Premature babies, for example, 100% of the time will have dysfunctional breathing. Those children especially need as much muscular function to stabilize their airways, their swallow muscles, and for growth. What about 4x extraction? Like, how many of our fit female 65-year-old women who end up with cardiac disease and Alzheimer's have had bicuspid extractions? We've been shrinking faces versus growing them. So this is, I'd say, like 3 generations out. Stanford published a study in 2016 showing us that our jaws are shrinking statistically significantly with each generation that comes forward. So as our jaws are getting smaller and we have a genetic predisposition for it, and then we're breathing pathologic air and eating more pouches, less stuff that needs to be masticated, we have this perfect storm of dysfunctional growth. It's going to lead to dysfunctional breathing and dental stability. So it's not a fad. It's just we've been overlooking and asking the wrong questions. I tell my parents stuff all the time, and they're on board. My dad's on a CPAP. I videotape my mom not breathing. And finally, you know, like I've got 15 videos of her stopping breathing for a minute at a time. And she goes to the physician and they're like, you know what? I think you have sleep apnea. And she gets a sleep test. I'd already run one on her, but she forgot. She goes, by golly, I have sleep apnea. Can you believe it? I was like, yeah, I've been telling you for 10 years. We lean into reactive medicine more than prevention. And so much of that generation, no offense to my parents, is like, what medication can we throw at it to fix it? If we had fixed the problem, and we could have reduced the risk of you even needing that medication, the CPAP, the mandibular advancement appliance, if we'd addressed it sooner. So it's not a fad. We've just been missing it, and we've been asking the wrong questions. And like, the mom army is strong. Like, we want a lot for our kids. And I would applaud my patients because they push and push and push. I'm often the 4th, 5th, 6th consultation they've gotten. And I talk to them, and based on our forms, they go, it all makes so much sense. How come everybody else doesn't see it the same way? I go, they're just not putting the pieces together. They're staying in their lane too much. They're not looking at health from a collaborative standpoint. They're only like, I treat this and this is what I do. I treat this and this is what I do. So it's not a fad. We're just better at communicating. At least some of us are. And we're getting there, hopefully. Yeah.
I've learned the mom army is strong. You don't mess with the mom army because it's not even worth it. Like, they know what they're doing. So
no, we're passionate about helping our kids, right? Yeah. Like, there's so much we can do.
Do we see parents that come in and say, you know, when we see a structure that's diminutive, a jaw structure that's too small, that their face did not grow wide and forward, and we say, you know what, your diagnosis says that your transverse, your width is too small, your child's jawbone is set back in their face, we can correct that. And when we correct that, we're also going to create more oral cavity volume. We're going to create more air space. We're going to create more nasal space. But we're just doing dentistry, right? We're just fixing our zone. And how many times do parents come back and say, the bedwetting went away, the behavior changed, the mood changed, like the feeding got better? If If we just make the function and the structure more optimal, we're going to continue to see these positive influences, whether we acknowledge it or not, whether we call it a fad or we don't. If we keep striving towards optimal, we're going to start to see that whether or not we recognize it.
I have so many questions I want to ask you guys. I'm going to have you back for a follow-up here. I want people to know what you're doing. You have a podcast, you have an online course, but before we do, let's do this. I want you to share your final thoughts, like one key message you would share with anyone listening to the podcast. Liz, you go first.
Trust your intuition. And just like the world of health and biohacking our health, there's so much that we can do to improve on the structure that we have. So just because you're listening to this, if you're a dentist and you're listening and you say to yourself, like, I feel like this is my patients, I feel like this is myself, you don't have to do everything, but doing something, even down to a little piece of lip tape, can change a life, maybe yours, maybe your patients. Build a trusting relationship with the patients that you have. Help your family. So nothing has to be, it doesn't have to be all or nothing. Like, start small, begin to look at things through a different lens, and then start to integrate.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Maggie.
I would agree with Liz, like follow your intuition because it's huge and it's powerful. But I'd also say just keep being curious. Don't ever get comfortable thinking that you've learned it all because I have so much more respect for a provider that says, I don't know, as opposed to, oh, that's not a thing. And that's across any discipline or any sort of niche. The chances of us ever knowing it all is zero. We're never going to learn it all. It's impossible. So just continue to be curious, keep asking questions and stay excited to learn. Otherwise, you're not going to be fulfilled in your career and you're going to miss an opportunity to make really big impact.
Yeah, I love it. You guys have a course called The Untethered Way. First of all, somebody's got to give us the story behind who came up with the name. Like, tell us about the
Maggie
name.
did. So, backstory on us is we met online. We were like online dating. We had a mutual friend who was like, you got to meet, you got to meet. And we were like, yeah, whatever. We got other dentist friends. We don't need another dentist friend. Like, so ignorant. And then finally, she was like, but you really have to meet. And we did. And we both had and were running restorative practices and an airway focus practice. So we had kind of separated them out within our own practices. So we both maintain a restorative practice and we had our own airway health center. So you can take this out of your restorative practice, make something different. You can run it in your restorative practice. So I had Bloom Center for Sleep and Airway Health, and Maggie's name was way better. So, when we had
Well,
asked each other for the, we were just sharing so much information. And then one day you looked at me and you were like, wouldn't it be fun if we just worked together? And I
wouldn't it
was
be
like,
fun? Let's do it.
sounds
Let's do it.
cool.
We're both just trying to create our own paths, working our tails off. And we were kind of like, what if we joined forces and we shared this effort? We'd probably make a lot more progress quicker. And we're having a lot of fun with it. So Untethered came from me looking for a magic bullet, right? So on my airway path, one of my first journey stops was the Breathe Institute with Dr. Zaghi and learning the impact that tongue ties can play in how our muscles function and how our muscle function influences the way we grow. And so I was like, ah, I got it. It's a tongue tie. Everybody's going to get fixed with a tongue tie. Tongue tie is the magic bullet. And so, being creative, I came up with the word untethered. And the first name was Untethered Tongue Tie Center. And then after that, I went further into understanding that that's very limited thinking. That is not the only piece of the puzzle. And so it became Untethered Airway Health Center, and tongue ties are a part of it. But I kept the name Untethered because we're still untethering ourselves from the medical model, that lack of preventive mindset of just putting out fires or waiting for end stage diseases to jump in and intervene. And so that's kind of how it came to fruition. And we just kind of kept it. We love it. And then the Untethered Way is our course. It's the way that we have done things. For good or for bad, we want to help people condense time and get to creating influence over how they enjoy their career or how they treat their patients in a much faster way than we did. And so that's how we came up with our course.
I love it. Now, somebody that's listening to the podcast, where do I find the course? What is it? What can I expect?
www.theuntetheredway.com. And we have it's online self-paced modules. And then once a month, we do office hours where we can just dive into questions. We run through little kind of specific case modules in those. And then from there, we spend a lot of time just answering questions, going over cases with people. And so we've developed this little community within it, and I'm really excited to continue to watch it grow. We have a lot of things coming down the pipeline, and we're just really excited to share it with everyone.
When we had our brainstorming session about creating it, we're like, what did we wish that we would have had, right? So we got all this academic learning, these unbelievable lecture series from the smartest brains out there. But then coming home and implementing it was really hard. And so we wanted to create something that we wish we would have had. And that's why we've not only created the lecture portion, but feel really strongly about this office hours portion, because I hear that from dentists all the time, that coming home and figuring out how to get it into practice is really hard. And so we want to make ourselves available to be a crutch to our students to help them implement it in their own way.
Yeah, I love the name. I love the story behind the name. So cool. So, and is it true? You guys have a podcast?
We do.
We just started a podcast.
Whoa,
We can take
tell
lots of
you.
lessons from you.
Well, I want our listeners to find it. Where do I go? What is it called?
It's called No One Told Me, the Airway Health Connection. And we have a lot of co-episodes. So we have a number of different professionals. So we've had an ENT, we've had a pediatric physical therapist, chiropractor who does a lot of primitive reflex, neurofeedback. We have Jeff Rouse coming on soon. And like through this space, we have so many fun relationships that we've built where it's just fun to sit and talk, kind of like we're doing right now. And then we have a lot of shorter episodes where we're talking about a particular subject. So Maggie went through a whole series that kind of runs through growth and all sorts of different downstream effects of it. I have a number of different things that I go on when I have thoughts and
Kind of our
tangents
ramblings and
or
our hot takes,
conclusions.
right?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's awesome. Nothing better than a great conversation that stimulates how we think. You know, it's amazing. So cool. Well, I am so excited for you guys. I'm so grateful you'd be able to come on the podcast and share your thoughts. And I have no doubt we're going to have you back again and again and again. So thank you
Thank
guys.
you.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Thanks for
thank you
doing
so
what you
much.
do.
You can follow us on Instagram too. I mean, that's a great place to reach out. And, you know, we really try to be open books. Like I think that's one thing in medicine is people can be so closed, and we really, for better or worse, have been very open with thoughts and materials and trying to help as many as we can, whether it's dentists or patients. We just really want to see the best for everyone.
Actually, on our one of the things that we was important to us when we created our website and our social media, but our website in particular, was we really wanted it to be a place where people could go, patients and providers alike, to gather information in one spot. And so we have an entire page that's called research or resources, and it's all the research. So as we collect research, we upload it so that there's links because people are always looking for it, and we don't want to have them waste time searching for it. We have already created it for you.
Outstanding. Outstanding. Well, this is awesome. I have no doubt you guys are going to create a lot of impact in this great industry. I always say there's dentists that fix teeth and there's dentists that change lives. There's no doubt you guys are changing lives. So thank you so much for being on. So stick around when we say goodbye to everybody else. But thank you guys for listening to the Best Practices Show podcast. These two individuals are amazing human beings, and they are truly changing the world. So I'm going to encourage you, follow them on Instagram. Check out the course. If you're not taking notes, here's how the podcast works. We take notes for you. Nothing easier than that. So I don't care where you're consuming the podcast, Stitcher, iTunes, Spotify, flip up to the show notes, and you're going to see a link to everything we've mentioned, which will include the course. Make sure you follow their podcast. I have no doubt it'll stimulate some better thinking for you and start the conversation. So hope you guys enjoyed that. If you enjoyed that, do us a favor, hit the share button, share that with your friends. And keep sending us suggestions for things you guys want to see. I'm going to have Liz and Maggie back. So send me some of your questions. I can bring them on and ask them the tough questions. So until we see you guys next time, or you hear from us next time, keep watching or keep listening to the Best Practices Show. You guys enjoy your day. So there you have it. Another great episode. Hope you guys enjoyed it. And thank you for showing up. I just want to thank you for being here and sharing the good word with your friends. And if you're really enjoying the podcast, could you do me a favor? Could you go to wherever you consume the podcast and just give us a 4 or 5 star review? Here's what that does. It allows us to find other great people like you. I love this profession so much. I'm going to spend the rest of my professional life finding great information so that you can consume it and your friends can consume it so that you can create a better practice and a better life. So keep spreading the word. and we will see you guys soon. Have a great day, everybody.